Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and very special episode today. We spoke with Ricky Fowler in his preparation up to the Masters. Greg Ducharme joined me. What up, Greg?
Rick, this is a special one.
And, How was that?
It's not often you get a chance to speak with, honestly, an American golf icon. So this is something you definitely want to give a listen to because Ricky's just awesome.
Very thoughtful guy, very nice guy. Glad we were able to steal a couple of minutes away from him. So without further ado, let's jump into the interview. All right, very special guest on the line today. We've got Ricky Fowler joining us. Obviously, preparation in full swing for the Masters. Ricky, first of all, welcome. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me on.
Let's jump right into this. I think everybody, you know, wants to know your preparation for the Masters. What does that look like? How is that differing from other years? This is going to be your 10th year playing the Masters, which first of all, that's kind of crazy, right? 10 years. It seems like it's gone by in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, it really has. It's a special week, special place. It never gets old showing up for Masters week. And typically, I would say over a majority of my career, played the week before Augusta, and I was planning on playing Houston leading up to it. But with it being a new golf course and with COVID and a lot of other outside influences going on, I just decided to get an extra few days at home, and that was going to be the prep and rest up for Augusta. I'm actually going to spend Friday, Saturday before the week with my coach, John Tillery, up where he's about a little over an hour from Augusta. So spend some time with him and then get over and get prep started Sunday, and plenty of time to ease into the week. Not going to be rushed or anything like that. So I'm excited, as is everyone else that's teamed it up on Thursday for Augusta.
Ricky, you and John Tillery, who you mentioned, have started this new relationship really this year. How have those swing changes been going so far? And at what point, at what stage in the process do you feel like you are right now here in the beginning of November?
Well, we've been working, I guess it's been, you know, a little over a year, but I would say the real part of it kind of started, you know, more so once the season kicked off in January for 2020. It's been tough. I mean, haven't had the results that I would like to as part of change. But I've had a lot of good rounds and things to kind of keep my hopes up. But yeah, I would say right now, I would definitely over the last couple months, it's gotten a lot more back to just playing. I was working so hard for a while just on what I was trying to do with the swing, and got away from a little bit of just the playing side of things, which normally for me when I'm home or working on the game, I tend to play a lot more. So getting back into that the last couple months has definitely helped. So I feel like I'm in a lot better spot going into the Masters than really I have been all year.
Yeah. Speaking of heading into Augusta, I mean, I've been joking kind of leading up to this, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in November for us, we would take it in December on Mars. It doesn't matter. We're excited for it. I imagine you are too. I imagine there's going to be good vibes as you're driving down Magnolia Lane, which by the way, how cool is it? So you're partnered up here with Mercedes-Benz. How cool is it driving a Benz down Magnolia Lane?
It's cool. I mean, especially the couple of times that we've been at Augusta and been able to shoot some stuff with Mercedes, and you know, drove the 4x4 G wagon a few years ago back and forth down Magnolia Lane, and then it would have been a little bit before original Masters time, but it feels like a while ago now. But got to spend some time in the new Mercedes Maybach GLS and cruising that around on property. It's always special to pull into Augusta, but I mean, nothing but the best when you're pulling up in a Mercedes and cruising down Magnolia Lane.
And Ricky, at Augusta, you've had some really, really quality starts there. You've had some great success, some really close calls. And that's happened really throughout your career, a lot of great tournaments, and they haven't always ended up in victory, which is true for so many players. When you look at your game and evaluate where you are with your game, do you think there's one area where you could really improve? Do you think there's one thing that, that if you improve, it'll help get you across the line and win that first major? Hopefully that happens this week at the Masters.
For me, I'd say the consistency on iron play. I feel like, as of late, I've definitely been driving it well. Putting's coming back to where I'm used to having it at. And Augusta is a place that I'm very comfortable at. I've had a lot of success. Been close a few times. But, iron play is key, especially at a place like Augusta, being able to leave your ball in the right spot and avoid the X's on the yardage book. There's, you know, Augusta is probably one of the, when you look at it, one of the most simple golf courses after you've been around it, with knowing pins, and there's basically half the area that you absolutely cannot hit it, and as long as you leave it in the right quadrant, you can figure it out. So when you get into trouble, it's more so getting yourself back into the right spot where you can, you know, save par and move on. But like I said, I've been driving it well. I've been driving it well at home. So planning for that to continue on to Masters week. And a lot of it's just going to come down to the consistency on iron play.
Ricky, you mentioned how comfortable you are at Augusta. I mentioned this is going to be your 10th trip down to the Masters. Obviously, with this year, we're playing in November, and there's been a lot of anecdotes about how the course plays in November. There's been a lot of speculation about a different wind direction, and just in general, it playing much longer. Maybe there's rain in the forecast, just a lot of unknowns. So for you, who has a baseline comfort level, how much do you think you'll be able to adapt correctly with so much knowledge built up for this course playing in April for how it might change and play in November?
Yeah, I think, for the most part, the greens should be what we're used to. As long as, I know there's some potential rain in the forecast. That's something as golfers, we look at the weather a decent amount and, kind of having an idea of what may be going on, wind directions, different stuff like that. But being around the golf course so much, I've seen just about every wind direction you can have out there. We know our sight lines, where we're trying to hit it. The more you can execute that, the better. It doesn't always happen that way. But like I said, with the greens, with them having sub air, I feel like green-wise, they should be what we're used to seeing, or at least similar. I think that potentially the bigger difference will be tee to green, potentially could be a bit softer, especially if there's rain that comes up, since we're on the early side of when they do overseed and get the rye to start growing back in, which they have to water quite a bit to get that to pop. So I've heard the golf course is in great shape. It is soft, but they're doing everything they can to get that ryegrass to come in. And I've heard the greens are healthy. So, like I said, I expect that the greens will be what we're used to seeing.
You mentioned the greens there, Ricky, and I want to mine into that just a little bit more because you yourself, a notoriously great putter on the PGA Tour, you know, we hear a lot. You know, I've never stepped foot on a green at Augusta National. I understand that there are intricacies and experience plays such a large role in how well you can perform on those greens, but I'd like to hear your take. I mean, are there subtleties that are difficult to read? Is it really just as much about as experience as we hear that it is?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's not that the greens are, there's some little areas that may have some subtle movement. But for the most part, there's so much slope and such big slopes that you know where it's going to go. But once they get to tournament speed, it's very different when they're maybe, you know, 2 feet slower. If you're up there a couple weeks prior, that can make a big difference on, you know, how the putt breaks. There's a lot of putts at Augusta that you're literally just trying to two putt. You're trying to get it up there within 3 feet would be great. Sometimes you're just trying to get it within, you know, 6 feet on some putts that maybe even 10. So to be able to position yourself to have, you know, maybe 6 to 8 decently, you know, makeable birdie putts or good looks would be a damn good day. There's a lot of times, you know, you try and take care of par fives. That's the big thing out there at Augusta. Whether you look back to Zach Johnson winning and laying up and hitting wedges close, to guys hitting it on par fives and two or around the green to get those somewhat gimme birdies. Outside of that, it's hard to get the ball, other than when you see the ball feed and get really close. You don't get a lot of just really simple, straightforward birdie putts. You get a lot of movement, and every once in a while you happen to get one that sneaks in. It's a bit of a bonus. But like I said, with those greens out there, there's a lot of times you're just trying to two putt and move on.
In the game, Ricky, your putting stroke is amongst the favorites to watch. And if the question is asked, whose putting stroke on the PGA Tour would you like to have most? I would say your name is among the most common that comes up. And this season, we've seen you trying out a new putter, a new style of putter. What went into that decision? Is that something you expect to continue with going forward? Or do you think you may go back to Old Faithful?
Well, I'm continuing with it. As of now, I don't see it coming out of the bag anytime soon. But for me, I've played with a number of different putters over, I'd say, the course of my golf career, which has been, I guess, almost going on 30 years now since I started as a little kid. But and I've gone back and forth from cross-handed to regular. I did that a lot through high school, college, into my early pro career. My first one on tour, I putted cross-handed. So I've kind of gone all over the place. I learned a lot spending time down at Scotty Cameron with Paul Bazanko through high school and when I'd be back through college and when I first turned pro. And that's really what kind of helped me develop my putting stroke. Not that I had a bad one before that, but just to really understand and what goes into and what affects the stroke. But for me, the reason going away from the Newport 2 style of putter, I was just questioning if I was starting putts where I wanted to, every once in a while pulling or pushing a little bit, which on fast greens, just a little bit off, and those are missed putts. So going to the face balance, kind of a, you know, semi-mallet, but it's a prototype head they made a few years back leading into the current series that they have in line. And for me, the shaft bend being face balanced and the head is very easy for me to line up and see the line. I really haven't had to worry about the ball starting on line. So that took that out of the equation. Right now, it's just making sure I obviously read the putts right and then matching the speed. So taking out a variable is very big in putting. So if I know I'm already going to start it on line, I just have, you know, make sure I read it right and then get the right speed, but I'm not worrying about if I'm going to start it where I want to or not.
Ricky, you mentioned the evolution of your own game, which is fascinating, but I want to kind of chat a bit about the evolution of the game of golf. Obviously, there's a chase for distance right now, or at least that's something we're all kind of talking about. So two-part question here. First of all, when are we going to see some Ricky Fowler, you know, launch monitor numbers on Instagram? And then to go with that, is this noise for you? Are you kind of buying into the distance? Like, what's your opinion on the things that are happening in the game right now?
Well, it's definitely getting faster and faster. Guys are coming out stronger, more fit, or going through total overhauls like Bryson, changing his body composition and getting stronger and faster, kind of really more than anyone has in the, you know, professional like playing side of it. There's obviously long drive guys out there that are well above that. But they're more just worried about, you know, hitting one of every few balls in the grid. So it's a little different kind of transitioning and Bryson trying to find that limit of how fast is too fast. When does it become, you know, kind of counterproductive? For me, I'm not someone that can necessarily get to that size or hold that weight. I don't think my frame is really built for that. So I'm typically right around the mid 150s in body weight. So I don't see myself sneaking up around 200 or over that anytime soon. So I'm just trying to be as efficient as possible. And like I talked about earlier, being more consistent and tightening up the iron game. That's where I'm going to, you know, hold my own against the best in the world. Not that I'm short by any means. I'll see if I can get some good numbers up on Instagram at some point, but I feel like, you know, I hang around the mid 170s. I can sneak it up to around 180, low 180s every once in a while if I go at one, but I don't know if I'm going to be sneaking up to the 190s. I'll kind of stay within my own here.
Ricky, you've given us so much of your time. So first of all, thank you for that. And before we let you go, as you head into this tournament, and it's another opportunity for you to accomplish a lifelong dream and a lifelong goal, and there are so many of us at home here who are rooting for you. You, as a fan favorite, I believe you are a really, really important player in the American golf game. What's the pep talk for yourself look like as you head into the last couple of days of preparation for a tournament like this?
Well, for me, you know, specifically going into the Masters, I know exactly how to play the golf course. I know what to do. It's all about executing. So the days leading up will just be checking the boxes, you know, making sure that the shots that I'll face in the greens that I'm comfortable, I know where I'm at swing-wise, you know, knowing what shots to hit, what not to try in certain situations. So for me, just playing my game and not trying to get too cute, causing an error on top of another error. And ultimately go out there and have fun. It's the Masters, playing Augusta. Like I said, a place that I love and have had a lot of success at. So rest up and get ready for the ride. So it's going to be a fun week there.
Absolutely. We're all rooting for you, Ricky.
Absolutely love it. Ricky, thank you so much. Good luck in Augusta. Have fun. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you have it. Greg, how cool was that, man?
Oh, man. It almost makes you nervous, right? We are on here almost every day chatting it up about golf. You get a guy like that to come on, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So I'm excited to see how it goes for Ricky. I as I said, I think he's so important for the game of golf, for the American game. And I know that I'm definitely rooting for him.
So the one thing that we did not get a chance to ask him about is that you actually have, like, you know, 7 degrees of separation or whatever from Ricky Fowler. He was on your bowling team or in your bowling league or something? No,
so when I worked at Medalist down in Florida, we had this league. We had a league. It was called The League. And it was a bunch of the golf pros that worked at various courses in the area. And there was the commish was at Medalist and was very friendly with Ricky. And so one night, this happened every single Monday night. We'd go, we'd bowl at Jupiter Lanes. And one night, Ricky joined. he showed up, and everybody, he was so nice. I mean, he didn't have to do this, right? You're talking about a couple guys that work at the club you work at that are going to Jupiter Lanes on a Monday night to bowl. And Ricky came out and joined us, and everybody just had such a great time. And he's so great to everybody. He's such a normal guy. He fit right in. It was like no big deal. Yet he's driving this in the Mercedes Benz in there, and he can tell. I mean, it's just he stands out, but he at the same time he doesn't in a way because of the way he carries himself. So it was just great to see.
I tried to work that into the interview. It didn't happen. We were talking more about Augusta, which I guess is.
Look, you only have so much time, and these are the important things. Bowling league, not quite as important.
Maybe next time, maybe in the off season, we'll do a bowling pod. All right. So here's where we're at. I mean, this continues our ongoing series of Masters content. We'll be back with another episode post Houston Open, and then we will be full throttle ahead for the Masters next week. Greg, thank you very much. As always, you can find Greg on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me on Twitter at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.